Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. Last week, I began a message in the book of Isaiah, in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 45, entitled Salvation in a Look. And I want to continue that and finish it up today. It's from Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22, where the prophet, preaching to the people of Jerusalem, he says, "Look unto me," and he's talking, this is God speaking through Isaiah, God speaking, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Salvation in a look. And this look here, as I said last week, is not just a glimpse, a passing glimpse. It is an intent gaze upon the glorious person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ that's brought about by God the Holy Spirit in the new birth under the preaching of the gospel. Because when you look, you're looking unto one who is real, who is unique, distinct. This is not a vision in the clouds or a dream that you have. It's not mystical. It's not just seeing things the way you want to see them. This is looking at Christ as your salvation, as He is identified and distinguished in the Word of God. You know, there are counterfeit Christ. Paul dealt with that in Galatians 1. He dealt with it in 2 Corinthians 11. He says, if those who come to you preach another Jesus, one of a different kind. In other words, they're saying things about Jesus. The word Jesus, the name Jesus means salvation. But they say things about Him that aren't true. Say things about His person. Who is Jesus Christ? Isaiah was clear on this. He is God manifest in the flesh. To deny His deity, if you claim to believe in Jesus, but you deny His deity, you're looking to a counterfeit. If you deny His humanity, then you're looking to a counterfeit. He's God, and He's both God and man. And I know that's a mind-boggling truth. It's high above our limited understandings, but it's true. It took this kind of person to put away the sins of God's chosen people, God's elect. And so He is Jesus, who is He is Emmanuel, God with us, God manifest in the flesh. And to deny His impeccability, His sinlessness, there are those who claim that Christ, when He went to the cross, that He was made sin in some mystical way, that sin was transferred to Him in such a way so as to corrupt Him or contaminate Him. Well, that's a counterfeit. Let me tell you, Christ is the just suffering for the unjust. Now, He was justly punished for the sins of His people. And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment in more detail. Based on the sins of His people imputed, charged legally to Him. And He died justly under the wrath of God as their surety. That a surety is one who takes accountability, responsibility to pay the debt of another. My debt became His debt. I'm the one who ran it up. I'm the sinner. Christ is not the one who ran the debt up. He's not the sinner. I am. But He took my debt. It was charged, accounted, imputed to Him. God does not impute it to me. God does not charge it to me. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Who did he impute them to? He imputed them to Christ. And so Christ died under the wrath of God. And he remained sinlessly perfect in himself throughout that whole work. He suffered. He bled. He died. But in himself, he remained sinlessly perfect, yet God was just to punish his holy, harmless, undefiled Son, the incorruptible blood of Christ, because of sins imputed to him. That's how great that is. And so, to call him a sinner or to make him a sinner is to look at a counterfeit. Look unto me and be ye saved. Look unto the true Christ. And then what did he accomplish when he died? Did he make men people savable? Or did he just bring about a mere possibility of salvation if you'll make the right choice or if you'll believe? No, that's a counterfeit. Everyone for whom Christ died shall be saved. And that's what I want to deal with today. Let's look at Isaiah 45. Look at verse 20. God, through the prophet Isaiah, is issuing forth a command to the people of Israel, the people of Jerusalem, and who had lapsed into, who as a majority had lapsed into idolatry. And he says, assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together. Come on, let's congregate. You that are escaped of the nations, those whom God had chosen out, and he says, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. That's what idolatry is, praying to a God that cannot save. Any God, listen, let me tell you something. Any God who has not the power to save unless you let him is an idol. But they had their idols. And he says in verse 21, tell you, and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Now come together and think on this revelation of God. And he says, who hath declared this from ancient time? Who from the very beginning has always spoken the truth about himself, about sinners? Who has always spoken the truth about idols and their evil? Who has told this, declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And remember, the word Lord there is what we have come to transliterate as the name Jehovah, which means the God of salvation, God who saves by grace through Christ. And he says, there is no God else beside me. That's the holiness of God. That's the uniqueness of God. There's no one like God. That's why we don't make representation. He said, don't make any graven image. Why? Because there's no, what are you going? God is spirit. And he reveals himself in his word and in his works, and you cannot make a likeness of him. You can't paint God. You can't see God in that sense. And he says, there's no God else beside me. And listen to how God identifies himself. This phrase that you're going to hear coming up is a encapsulation of all the attributes of God. Have you ever seen a book called The Attributes of God? There are several written by different men talking about God's attributes, God's characteristics. They speak of God's power, God's knowledge, the infinity of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God, the long-suffering of God, all kinds. God has many attributes that make up his glorious holy unity in person. And this phrase here, as he reveals himself through the Lord Jesus Christ, encapsulates his whole nature. Because in the salvation of sinners, by Jesus Christ, we see every attribute of God working consistently together, engaged on behalf of his glory and the salvation of his people. And here's the phrase. Listen to it. He says, "Look." He says this. He says, "There's no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me." And so then he says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends." Look unto who? A just God and a Savior. You say, well, why is that so profound? Well, think about it. I've dealt with this on this program so many times, and I'll continue to deal with it because it's the heart of the gospel. But the greatest question of all is this. How can a sinner, how can a man or a woman, a sinful person, be justified with God? Because God is just. The Bible teaches us that justice is probably the main attribute of God. It speaks, anytime it talks about the coming of Christ into the world in the Old Testament, a lot of times it says justice and judgment are the habitation of His throne. That's where He lives. So if I were to ask you, what's the main attribute of God? People today would say, well, love is. No, love is an attribute. God is love. The Bible teaches us it's not that just God, that God loves. It's God is love. He's the very embodiment of love. But God is not love apart from or in spite of or in opposition to His justice. One of the attributes of God is His hatred. And people don't like to hear about that today. Why? Because I'll tell you why. Because they equate God's hatred with our own. When we hate, it's selfish. It's murder. It's sinful. But when God hates, it's based on a just and right ground. God hated Esau. God hates all workers of iniquity, the Bible tells us. Who are those workers of iniquity? It's all sinners to whom He imputes sin. God's wrath is an expression of His hatred of sin. And when preachers tell you, well, God, He hates sin, but He loves the sinner, don't listen to them. The Bible doesn't teach that. Here's the point. What I need to know, and what you need to know, is how can a holy and just God, who must punish sin wherever He finds it, and punish sinners, you see, God doesn't just hate the sin and love the sin. God doesn't just punish sin. He punishes sinners. Sinners will perish in eternal damnation. Not just their sins, but the sinner will. So the question that we have to confront here is how can a holy and just and righteous God love me, save me, have mercy upon me, be gracious to me, and still be just in doing so? How can that happen? Well, certainly, it cannot be based on our works. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, the Bible tells us. And no one shall be justified in God's sight by their works. By deeds of law shall no flesh be justified. Salvation is by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And somebody says, well, we're justified by faith. Well, what do you mean by that? Because if you go to the scripture and look at what that means, it doesn't mean what most people think it means today. Most people think it means, well, I'm lost in my sins and I'm unjust until I make the right decision and believe, and then God justifies me based on it. That is not what the Bible teaches. To be justified by faith is to be justified by Christ. So how can God love me, be gracious to me, be merciful, and still be just and righteous and true to Himself? He must be. And that's why He says, there's no God else beside me here in verse 21. A just God and a Savior. A righteous judge who acts according to strict law and justice. but also a Savior. Aren't those two things contradictory? Not in God. Because God has a way, an eternal way, that He can be both a just God and a Savior. Now, what is that way? Well, look at verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Verse 23, I have sworn by myself. God swore an oath, and He swore this oath by Himself. In other words, He engaged His own reputation on the line here, His own glory. He says, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness. Now that's injustice. You see, God is a righteous God. The gospel, Paul wrote this in Romans 1, 16 and 17. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek also. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the justified shall live by faith. Now think about that. What is the righteousness of God? Well, it's the justice of God. But you know, he's talking about the gospel there. Now, if I were just to preach nothing to you but the justice of God, I can assure you it would not be good news. God is a God of justice. He must punish sinners to whom sin is imputed. If God were to ever give me what I deserve and what I've earned, it would be eternal damnation. That's His justice. But this righteousness of God is good news to sinners. So how can the justice of God be good news to sinners? Well, he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now, the first from faith, that's the message, the doctrine of Christ. What is our faith? What is my faith? What do I believe? I believe that Jesus Christ is my surety, my substitute, my redeemer, the Lord, my righteousness. My sins were imputed to Him. His righteousness has been imputed to me. I have life from the dead, from Christ, whereby I believe in Him. That's the second faith, from faith to faith. From the gospel preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, the revelation of God, to God-given faith given to us in the new birth to receive Him. The Bible says in John 1 that as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, not of physical inheritance, nor of the will of the flesh, not of the works of the flesh, nor of the will of man, not of the free will of man. It wasn't because of our choice, but were born of God. And so he says in verse 23 of Isaiah 45, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness. That's the gospel. Think about it. Over in Isaiah 46, he says in verse 12 of Isaiah 46, this is the next chapter over. He says, hearken unto me, you stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. Now, who is the stout-hearted who are far from righteousness? That's all of us by nature. As we are fallen in Adam, ruined by the fall, and as we are born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. Stout-hearted means we're proud. What is it to be proud? It's to think that we can do something to make ourselves right with God, that we can work it some way by our efforts, by our choice or our wills. That's stout-hearted. And he says, who are far from righteousness? Well, how good do I have to be to go to heaven? Well, I'm going to try to be as good as I can be, somebody says. Well, that's not going to work. That's stout-heartedness. So he says, you proud sinners, listen to me. And he says in verse 13, now listen to this, Isaiah 46. He says, I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. Do you see that? How is God going to bring salvation to sinners like me and like you? He's going to bring near His righteousness. Now, what is that? That's His salvation. And who is it in? Salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. That's Christ. And so look back here at Isaiah 45. He says, verse 23, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. It's not going to fail. Every sinner whom God chose before the foundation of the world, whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, every sinner whom He has justified based upon the righteousness of Christ imputed to them, every sinner for whom Christ died on that cross, shall be born again by the Spirit, shall come to faith in Christ, and shall enter glory. Not one of them will perish. It will not return. That unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Now everyone's going to bow in the end. Every sinner, even those who die in unbelief, they're going to bow because God is sovereign. They're going to be forced to bow. But all who are brought to faith in Christ, they bow willingly. They're made willing to bow. And so verse 24, he says, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness. In the Lord is all righteousness and strength. I don't have any righteousness in myself. There are a lot of people today who claim to. They claim they have a righteous nature. They cannot sin and cannot be contaminated. That's a lie. That's a false gospel. That's pride. That's stout-heartedness. I believe that the Holy Spirit, when He brings us to the new birth, He gives us a new heart, a new life. But my friend, that new heart and that new life is not our righteousness before God. Our righteousness before God is the person and work of Christ on the cross. We are justified, the Scripture says in Romans chapter 3, by His blood. Now what that means is His death on the cross to put away my sins. He was made sin. That's what the Scripture says. Christ had the sins of God's people, His sheep, imputed, charged to Him. Christ, for us, Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. His righteousness imputed to us. And so in the Lord have I righteousness. In the Lord have I strength. The power to believe, the power to repent, the power to come to Christ is not in me or in you. If left to ourselves, to our own wills, we would never come to Christ. I think I made mention of this either in the last message or a couple of weeks ago about a young man who denies the gospel, claims to be a Christian, denies the true gospel, believes a false gospel. And he said, well, I just believe we all have a choice. Well, we do have a choice. There's the choice of the broad road that leads to destruction and the straight gate, narrow way that leads to life. And those are the two choices. But if left to ourselves, we will always make the wrong choice. We'll choose the broad road. There's more people on the broad road, more people whom we love, family members. We'll choose the wrong road if left to ourselves. But God has a people whom He's going to give life to and give them eyes to see and ears to hear. They're going to be born again. And they're going to choose willingly the way of life because God makes them willing. God doesn't bring them against their will. He gives them a new will. And Jeremiah spoke of that. He said, I'll put my law within their heart, write it on their heart, in their inward parts, give them a new heart, and cause them to walk in my statutes. So he says in verse 24, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to Him shall men come, to the Lord. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Salvation in a look. And all that are incensed against Him, that's unbelief, shall be ashamed. But look at verse 25. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Now whoever this Israel is, They're all going to be just. They're all going to be justified. They're going to be. It's declared by God, and they will all glory in the Lord. Now, what is it to be justified? The justified shall live by faith. That's what he's saying here. To be justified is to be forgiven of all my sins based on one just ground, the blood of Christ. To be justified is to be declared righteous, right with God in His sight, based on one ground, the imputed righteousness of Christ. That's what it is to be justified. Paul wrote about that in Romans 4 and verse 6 when he was quoting David in the Psalms. And he spoke of the blessedness there in verse 6, the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. And he says David spoke of that when he said in Psalm 32, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. God does not charge me with my sin. He charges me with the righteousness of Christ. And if I'm charged with the righteousness of Christ, which means God chose me, which means Christ died for me, I will be born again and brought to glory in the Lord, to glory in the cross. The apostle wrote in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, he said, God forbid that I should glory, boast, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. He says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Glory in the Lord. So if God brings you to this revelation, what are you going to do? You're going to look unto me and be ye saved, he said. Salvation in a look. And you'll continue to look. Hebrews 12:2 says, we run the race of grace looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.